Our hearts go out to people that are at the moment sick or suffering, financial difficulties, and even more so to people who may have lost a loved one or a friend during this time to the coronavirus. Our heart really goes out to you. It's a terrible time, but we do thank God that we have faith in God's word that will carry us through these times. And I just want to pray for you this morning before we start our service. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for every single person listening today that they will be encouraged by the word, that no matter what they're going through, if it's a financial situation, maybe there's divorce in their home, maybe there's strife in their home. I don't know, but you know what's going on in their home. And if they're under pressure because they've lost their jobs or because they're in fear because of what might happen, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will encourage them and you will let them know that you are a very, very dear friend and close, precious in a time of trouble. And they will sense your presence and they'll know, Lord, that you love them this morning and that you're going to bring them through this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, today is obviously a great day of victory. It's the Resurrection Sunday where Jesus rose from the dead. It's all about Jesus today. It's his day of victory. And we've been speaking a lot about the COVID-19 virus and the pandemic and what devastation it's caused. You can go back and listen to some of our previous sermons and you'll be greatly encouraged. But this morning, if you give me leeway, I'd like to just focus on Jesus. It's his day, it's his day of victory, and I just want to highlight what Jesus has done and accomplished for us, rather than talk about so much as what the devil is doing at this time throughout the world. Is that okay with you guys?
Yes.
God bless you. While I was praying this morning for the service, the Holy Spirit dropped something in my heart, because I was thinking about how many churches are empty today right around the world, and people not being able to congregate together. And this is what the Holy Spirit said to me. He said to me, there will be more people that will hear the gospel today than ever in one day in the history of the world.
Woo-hoo!
You think about that. It's the same thing is happening because people are watching online, they're watching on television, people are streaming, and hundreds of thousands, millions, even billions of people are tuning in when they wouldn't normally tune in. They would let it go. But now congregations are tuning in, they're inviting friends, they're texting out, they're sharing on Facebook. Hundreds of thousands, millions, billions of people are getting to hear the gospel today. Imagine that. Resurrection Sunday, what Satan wanted to destroy, what Satan wanted to ruin, God has said, I'll show you something. I'll preach the gospel across the whole world to more people in one day than any other day in the history of the world.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. So this morning, I want to talk to you about the power of the resurrection. My mission this morning is not to convince you that there was a resurrection, although I will give you some evidences just briefly that there was a resurrection. My mission this morning is to talk about the power, the authority, and the accomplishments of the resurrection, how it affects us and what Jesus accomplished through it. For just a moment, let me exalt the Lord Jesus and talk about his uniqueness. Jesus, in the very beginning, existed with God, always has existed. He is called the Word of God, and he is the Word of God that took on flesh and came to the earth and was born of a virgin. Jesus said that his words are spirit and life, very unique. And the scripture tells us that he is the express image of the Father. Jesus said this, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And any person who loves me will be loved of my Father. And then he said, no one can come to the Father except he come through me. Jesus is the only way to the Father. He's the only way to God. He's the only way to heaven. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the resurrection and the life. And he said, if you believe in me, you have life. And if you don't believe in me, you don't have life. If you believe in me, Jesus said, I will raise you up at the last day. The Father has given Jesus the most powerful name in the entire universe, that at the name of Jesus, all of those in heaven, on earth, and under the earth will bow to his name. Every single person. There's no other name given, the Bible says, among men on earth whereby we must be saved. And the Father has given Jesus the power and the right of judgment because his name is the greatest name in all the universe. He is our God. He is our Lord, he is our Savior, and he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Can you say a great amen out there? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, let me read you a scripture concerning the resurrection. There are many that I could have chosen. I specifically just went to Matthew 28. I'm going to read from verse 1, if you'll turn in your Bibles and follow me. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid. For I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said." Jesus said he would rise, and he did. The angels heard him, and people around him, his disciples, heard that he would rise. He said, tell the disciples, go quickly and tell the disciples. First of all, he said, come and look at the place where he lay. He said, he has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will find him. Now I have told you. And verse 16 says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. You know, unfortunately, it's true that even today, people doubt the resurrection of Jesus. And not everybody believes that Jesus was raised from the dead. In fact, one of the disciples, Thomas, they called him Doubting Thomas, he didn't believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. And Jesus, when he appeared to him, said, well, you know, touch my hand, touch my side. And he said, my Lord, my God. He said, well, don't be doubting anymore, Thomas. Be believing. You know, without the resurrection, Jesus would have been declared a miracle-working fraud. And the reason was because he predicted that he'd rise from the dead, but then he didn't. He couldn't even follow through on his own predictions. If the resurrection didn't happen, the Old Testament would be unfulfilled. Gentiles would have no access to God. And listen, this is a terrible thought. Every person that you know that has died and passed from this world would not have gone to heaven had Jesus not risen from the dead. But thank God, the resurrection is not a fiction, it is fact. Amen. In Acts chapter 1, the beginning of the church, Dr. Luke writes this. He says, from verse 1, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commands to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, when Dr. Luke writes this, he chooses very, very particular words, which are usually reserved for legal evidence. And he says that there were many infallible proofs. He said they were convincing, verifiable, irrefutable proofs. Not just one, but there were many. Now, to give you some of the evidences of the resurrection, and just a few of them. First of all, there's the empty tomb. Obviously, there's the empty tomb. You know, if you go to Israel, which we did, Jackie and I went to Israel, And we went to the empty tomb. We had to pay a certain amount of money to go in and see it. And there was a guy standing there, you know, letting us have a look at the tomb. And when we came out, he said, "I told you." But it was empty. It was empty. Praise the Lord. Two angels came down. This is verifiable proof. It was written in Scripture. Two angels came down. One angel rolled back the stone, sat on the stone, and then the guards were actually standing there. We'll read the Scripture. They were standing. They became like dead men. They were so afraid when they saw the angels. And you know that when the angel rolled the stone away, it was for the woman to get into the tomb. It wasn't for Jesus to get out. Jesus was already out. And the woman couldn't get in. So the angel said, "Look, I need to do something. Roll away the stone. Now come in and have a look where he lay." And, you know, the guards saw this and they went and told the chief priests. And the chief priests told them to lie and said to them, "Well, say that you were sleeping and that the disciples came and rolled the stone away and stole the body." You know, first of all, if you're sleeping on duty as a guard, it probably would cost you your life. Right. Second of all, you must be in a very deep sleeper to have the stone roll away in front of you and not be disturbed by it, especially if you're standing on guard. So really, I can't believe that, but that's what happened. And then in the tomb were the linen just lying there, you know, the head wrappings and for the body, but there was no body. And then Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene right outside the tomb in the garden. She saw Jesus live. And then he walked into the place where his disciples were and appeared to them, walked right through the walls, appeared to them. And the Scripture says that he met with a number of people during the 40 days that he was alive. At one time, 500 people. And you know, 500 people all don't have a vision at the same time or imagine that they're seeing something at the same time. They actually did see Jesus. And then the last thing that I think is one of the great truths about and evidences about the resurrection is that the disciples were hiding. They were afraid of what happened to Jesus was going to happen to them. They thought that the Roman soldier, chief priests, are going to come after them and crucify them. So they were hiding. Well, what transformed those cowardly disciples into men of faith? They became bold preachers about the resurrection. They were threatened with death, didn't change them. And even those who died, they did not recant their testimony. Now, on the third day, Jesus was in hell. He had taken our sin, separated from the Father, and he was suffering in hell. On the third day, the Holy Spirit went into the dark, damned region, the pits of hell, and rescued Jesus out of hell, and then took his spirit back to his body. And when he entered the tomb and entered Jesus' body with Jesus' spirit, there was an explosion of power when Jesus' spirit reunited with the Father. Remember, he was separated from the Father in death. That's what spiritual death means. And there was this great reconnecting of God and of Jesus the Father. And so the power of the resurrection, the power of the Holy Spirit, caused Jesus' body to come alive and to be transformed from a mortal body into an immortal, glorious body. Hence the resurrection. And people, that is not a fairy story. In fact, that is the foundation of our Christian faith. And every one of the Gospels tells this story. Can you shout, "The tomb is empty"? Shout, "He is risen, and Jesus is exalted." Thank you, Lord. That's what this day is all about. Well, I want to give you 7 quick points about the power and authority and accomplishments of the resurrection. The first one is this, that Jesus was raised to the ultimate place of authority. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19, the Scripture reads, "What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead," and now it comes, "and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. You know that the right hand always represents a place of honor and a place of authority. And so God's right hand must represent the highest place of authority, the highest place of honor and power in the entire universe. And Jesus was seated there by the Father, far above every demonic force and principalities and power, not even close to him. He is seated there above these demonic forces. Point number two, we are seated there with him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Ephesians 2, verse 6, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus. We are seated together with him at that place of authority. You know, when I pray, I try to remind myself that I'm praying from heaven down rather than trying to pray up to heaven. Sometimes when we pray, we feel like our prayers are hitting the ceiling, that our prayers do not accomplish anything. But if you can only remember that you're in Christ, that you're seated at the right hand of the Father, and when you pray, you're not trying to reach up to God, you're already there with him, and when you pray, your prayers are powerful, and they will accomplish much in Jesus' name. Point number three, the resurrection authenticates Jesus as the Son of God. In Romans 1 and verse 4, it said, and he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord, the Son of God. Now, of course, we are born again, and we're all now children of God with us. Whether we're sons and daughters, we're all. But he is a unique Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, as Cindy read this morning in John 3:16. Number four, the resurrection assures my freedom from the condemnation of sin. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 7, it says, and if Christ has not been risen, then your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. But he did rise from the dead. And because of his resurrection, our faith is not useless. Because of his resurrection, we have been freed from the guilt of sin. Not only the feeling of guiltiness, you know, when we sin, we have that sense of guilt because we've done something that was displeasing to God. It's not talking about that. It's actually talking about the fact the Bible said that all who sin have come short of the glory of God, and the end result of sin is death. There is a punishment for sin. That is the guilt that you will suffer. And through the resurrection, we have been freed from that guilt. Now, number five, the resurrection assures my right standing with God. It assures my right standing with God. In Romans 4 and verse 25, it said, Jesus was given to die for our sins, and he was raised from death to make us right with God. If he was not raised, no one could claim to be right with God. But now, because he is raised, we have been justified, just as if I'd never sinned. Thank God for that. We have been justified, we have been forgiven, we've been made righteous with God. Righteous with God simply means we are in right standing with God. Right standing. There is no sin between us and God. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we have this unique position where we are together with God. We have a relationship with God. There's nothing separating us from God. And so we can thank God for that right relationship because of the resurrection. Point number six, the resurrection of Jesus assures my resurrection. Because he was raised, we will be raised. 1 Corinthians 6 and 14 says this, by his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Hallelujah. So we can rejoice and be thankful for that. Because Jesus was raised, we have this great hope that we will be raised from the dead as well. that death is not the end. Death is actually the beginning of the new life. When we as Christians die, we graduate from this earth. We go to be with the Lord, and we'll be with Him forevermore. We go to receive our rewards. We go to be part of the bride of Christ, and we're so excited about that. Then God raises our bodies in a glorified state so that we'll never die again. Our resurrection is assured because Jesus' resurrection took place. And lastly, believing in the resurrection assures my salvation. In Romans 10 and verse 9, it said, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." You'll notice that this verse tells us, in order to be saved, we have to do two things. First of all, we have to believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And then second of all, we actually have to say with our mouth, "Jesus, be my Lord. Save me, Lord." Now, you know, I was raised in what I thought was a Christian home. I come to find out later it was just a religious home. It was people, my parents, not so much my dad, but my mom, would from time to time go to church with her mom. And because they thought it was the right thing to do, they told us as the children, we have to go to church. And so every Sunday, we would go off to Sunday school and we'd go attend the church service. And quite frankly, it didn't really mean much to me. During that whole time, I didn't really understand what the preacher was saying most of the time. And when I tried to read the Bible, it was very difficult. I couldn't get through Genesis. It was so long. And then I thought I'd read the next book and went to Exodus, and that was worse. And then as I read the next book, I read Leviticus, and that was even worse. I thought, how could anybody become a Christian reading this stuff? It was crazy, you know? And so I just thought to myself, well, I'm sure I'm a Christian and I'm going to go to heaven. Well, when I turned 16, our church had a special ceremony for people who turned 16, and it was called confirmation. And at the confirmation, we had to say a prayer, or we have to say why we want to be a Christian and so on and so forth. And I had to ask a girl that lived up the road who had done this ahead of me, "What do I say?" I didn't know what to say. Jesus wasn't real to me in the sense that I'd been born again, but I thought I was okay. So I got the answers from her. I filled in a little card, and then they congratulated me and said, "Great, you're a Christian and you're going to go to heaven." And that was the last time I ever went to church, because I thought, I'm on my way. Everything is good. You know, I mean, I've done what I'm supposed to do. I've paid the price I'm supposed to pay. And I couldn't understand why other people would still go to church. But my mom tried to drag me. But at the age of 16, I didn't want to listen anymore. You know, it wasn't until I was 19 years of age. And I must tell you, between the age of 16 and 19, I lived it up. I tried to do as much sin as I possibly could. It was a lot of fun to me. And there was a lot of trouble that came with it as well. Underage drinking, all kinds of stuff that went with it, trying to try drugs, and that didn't work. It was a terrible feeling, but I didn't understand why people did it. But then at the age of 19, I was invited to a church, and that pastor preached a message, and I was amazed at how that message got a hold of my heart, and God spoke to my heart, and I really felt him saying, "You need to repent, and you need to call on me to be saved." Because you see, the thing is this, I actually believed in Jesus. I actually believed Jesus died on the cross. I actually believed he was risen from the dead. But I wasn't a Christian. By no means. Not at all. I didn't live like a Christian. I didn't speak like a Christian. In fact, I had a foul mouth. When I did get born again, I lost at least half of my vocabulary. I had to start all over again. But when I received Jesus that night, I asked him to become my Lord and my Savior with a prayer. I prayed. I said, "Jesus, I do believe on you. And I do believe that you died on the cross for me and that you rose from the dead. Jesus, would you be my Lord and Savior?" But I want to tell you something. There was a miraculous thing that happened in my life. The Holy Spirit came into my life and caused me to be born again. Totally born again. I walked out of that church the next day. I saw birds flying. I saw flowers. I thought, where have they been? beautiful colors. A few nights later, it was about midnight, I went out of the place where I was living, and I went and lay on my back in the middle of the park, and I looked up at the stars, and I thought, my goodness, look at all these stars. How beautiful is this? And you know what happened? Darkness came off me. My eyes were opened. The light of God's glory came into my being. And I knew that I knew that I knew that I was born again of the Spirit of God. I had become a child of God for the first time. Friend, if you're listening to me today and you were raised as a Christian and you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, you've never repented of your sin, would you do that today? You already believe. I'm going to ask you to pray this little prayer with me. So would you close your eyes right there in the lounge, in your bedroom, wherever you are, if you're alone, it's between you and God. Would you close your eyes and pray this little prayer with me? Dear God, I believe in Jesus. I believe Jesus died for me on the cross and he took my sin. I repent of my sin, God, and I believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. And now, Jesus, I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. Make me your child. Father, I believe you heard this prayer. And right now, your Holy Spirit is causing me to be born again, brand new. Thank you for my new life, Lord. Thank you that I'm a child of God and that I'm going to heaven. In Jesus' name. God bless you for joining us today at our Easter service, our resurrection service. Thank you for making Jesus the Lord of your life and for praying with me.